Our guest in the cafe this morning is Wayne Bowman, Hunt County Master Gardener. Wayne, we introduced you to Wayne here a while back. So, Wayne, thanks for sitting down with us again.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Byron Chitwood sitting in with us as well.
Thank you for inviting me, John.
And Byron may have a word or two to say. We're going to talk about... last time we talked about pests with Byron. We're going to talk about that some more with Wayne this morning. But first of all, I saw an item on the Facebook page that you all operate, and it's a very useful Facebook page. I recommend it to anybody who's concerned at all with gardening. But it does mention that February is the month for pruning roses. So now is the time to get that done.
Yep, it's getting... off and on warmer, and it's time to prune out the roses. You need to prune out the dead canes, trim out what you need to keep them from growing all over the place, and shape them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So is there any particular technique, there, or maybe is there anything in particular to avoid, any harm that you might do in tackling that?
Well, I'm not the rose expert, but I can tell you that my wife does not trim off the new growth. She kind of leaves that there, and the old canes, and like I said, you can shape it up some.
Uh-huh. So no particular amount that you would be pruning. I guess it just depends on the size of the rose bush. We have one that's grown very, very large, and I think we need to cut it back a good bit.
Yeah, sometimes they do have a tendency to go wild and get a little bit larger than what you really want for your area. So kind of customize it to what you need.
Yeah, so but you don't have to be too very concerned about doing great damage to them as you get in there with the pruning shears.
No, actually, sometimes you can trim them all the way to the ground and they'll still sprout back.
Is that right? Okay, well, that's good to know. So February is the month for that, and we want to keep that in mind. All right, so let's get into some other notes here that Wayne is going to address. We did talk about pest control in gardening the other day, and I'm looking at some of the notes that you gave me. Internet searches. The internet's a great thing, but you don't always rely on everything that you read on the internet.
You can find every opinion of every person you've ever wanted to or didn't want to know on the internet. And I found, as doing some research for this this interview, I found quite a few conflicting opinions. For instance, there's one where you can open up a mole's track and drop some juicy fruit gum in there, and the mole is supposed to eat the juicy fruit gum and explode later. And the next post on there says that doesn't work. You have to buy a trap.
Yeah, so. Well, I think I might not fall for that particular one, but I could.
So. Well, there's some people swear by one.
Is that right? The juicy fruit. Well, that's interesting.
And you can use a vacuum truck and suck them out of those tunnels.
That would be fun to watch.
We're talking with Wayne Bowman, and also Byron Chitwood is sitting in too. Hunt County Master Gardeners. Both of them. Now, you mentioned also that in terms of pests, we don't think of our dogs and cats as pests, but they do cause some damage.
Oh, Rover and Kitty can get in there and do a lot of damage, both indoors and outdoors. Dogs will dig holes for a lot of different reasons. Mostly around here in the summertime, they'll dig a hole to stay cool.
Well, can I tell you about that? I may ask your opinion on that particular situation.
I've got one that actually digs a den, and she'll go 2, 3, 4 feet down into the ground, and all you see is her nose sticking out.
Is there a way to prevent them from doing that? And maybe we shouldn't prevent them because they're trying to stay cool. God bless them. But is there a way to mitigate that?
Well, there's two different things you can use on your pets that are very non-toxic. Ammonia.
Yeah,
a couple of ammonia balls, a couple of cotton balls soaked with ammonia. You can place those in the places where they're going.
Mm.
And dogs will react to vinegar. Now, vinegar you got to be careful about because vinegar will attract the cat to do a little deposit in your area because it smells like urine to them.
Well, I kind of see that. Yeah. But dogs don't like it.
Dogs don't like it. That's correct.
And so they would go somewhere else.
Same thing. And if they get in, the cats and dogs will also go into houseplants. And a little ammonia ball, a little cotton ball soaked in ammonia, drop it in there, leave it alone. They will stay away.
That gets us into, well, actually, we're already into it. You mentioned natural repellents. that can help not just with dogs and cats, but I guess with other varmints that we don't want around. So what are some other things you can do naturally?
Well, we've already mentioned ammonia.
Yeah.
As a way to get it, used in soaked cotton balls, maybe a little bit of spray. Don't apply it directly to your plants. You can do it around it. But as you recall, a lot of fertilizer is ammonia based, mm-hmm. so it won't hurt the plants. Cayenne pepper is used. Dust it down, you know, the granules. And there's also a method where you can boil the cayenne pepper, turn it into a spray. Of course, you got to be careful about that, because if you get it on your hands or transfer it to your eyes, you're going to be in big trouble.
Right, right. Byron mentioned, we're almost out of time while we were talking off mic, about a woman that uses Christmas decorations to protect her tomatoes. Was that what it was?
Yeah, I've heard that before, that use the red globes. And before the tomatoes even become ripened, the natural tomatoes, they'll peck on those and with no results. Eventually, they'll give up on that red-looking fruit.
That's a heck of an idea. Wayne Bowman and Byron Chitwood, Hunt County Master Gardener, sitting in with us this morning. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.